America. Weekend. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. We are back once again. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. Thank you once again, as always, for tuning in to our broadcast. And Roland, this is a topic I await.
Well, a few weeks ago, a writer friend of mine said that he was preparing an article on television anchors and how they were getting younger and the use of social media on newscasts. And he asked me if I had any thoughts on the subject, and of course I said I did. And I sent him, you know, my thoughts for his use in his article. But, you know, just to synthesize that, what I said was that I do think that news anchors are getting younger, and in some cases too young. Many are inexperienced for the positions that they hold and are not, and this is going to be up your alley, they're not students of history. You know, by definition, youth lacks the experience of history, but many of the young anchors today lack the knowledge of contemporary history or even the interest to find out about it. And I think sometimes that is so important to place a major story into some kind of context.
Can I be blunt?
Oh, but you've never stopped being blunt.
Most of the young anchors today couldn't get arrested in a whorehouse with a $20 bill stuck up their nose.
No, that's not blunt.
And that's an old expression. It comes out of World War II.
Oh, I know it is, yeah.
And when they used to go into these dens of iniquity, and they would be ignored because they didn't think they had any money. Well, these young people don't have any brains. And I'm going to tell you why. They're smart. They're very smart. Better education. They understand, have a better scope. They read well. Many of them write well, by the way, extremely well. But they don't, you hit it on the head. They don't have the interest to learn. They don't have the capacity to grasp history in its fullest context. And how in the blessed Lord's name could you be an anchor if you don't understand that? What did I miss? What did I miss here? Because I get very passionate about this topic because they are bright. They're just lazy.
No, first of all, you get passionate about every single thing we talk about. And I understand where you're coming from. But, you know,
Lord have mercy.
In many ways, Carl, I watch with disdain because my whole broadcasting experience previous to our radio program was in television. Darn close to 50 years, if not more. And today, I watch local television anchors around the country say in the middle of a broadcast or after a story, well, follow me on Twitter or Facebook. And, you know, years ago, we had to live with that 30-minute half hour and that 60-minute hour.
Sure.
You didn't waste time saying, you know, tune in, follow me, here's my blog, and all that sort of stuff.
But the point is follow me. It's not about me.
That's correct.
It's a story. When you are delivering a story, be brief and be gone. It's not about you. It's about the story.
Yeah, give me a middle, give me a beginning and a middle and an end.
Thank you. And on to the next one.
Yep.
And they don't understand that because they haven't been trained properly. They can't grasp story. I have one young lady. If I am sitting here in a chair across the way from you, she was doing a fire story. And she was talking about the wrong city. She was in the wrong city. And I'm looking at this woman, and I'm watching this on television saying, but I happen to know where the fire was. She's in the wrong city. How do you do that? She had no idea that she was wrong, and actually thought she was right. My point is, that's stupidity, and I have no place for it. But our business, unfortunately, and I say this sadly, has allowed this kind of economy of scale. And when you affect economy of scale, Roland, when it comes to those very important people that anchor a show, a news show. Your job, and you did it so well for so many years, was to keep the whole show together, to give it a sense of glue, to give it a sense of proportion. They cannot do that today. They don't know how.
Well, you know, one of the best in the world that everybody will remember, of course, is Walter Cronkite.
Oh, dear Walter. Wonderful.
God rest his soul. I knew him fairly well.
Yes, you did. I did as well.
Worked for that same organization for 18 years and then knew him also even afterward, even after he retired, and
yes.
And I no longer worked for the CBS organization. But I'll tell you, he did not become America's most trusted journalist and most trusted person in many ways by sending out selfies and getting people to follow him on Twitter.
But look who his educators were, Edward R. Murrow and Eric Severide, the great Eric Severide. Oh,
and Walter was all involved with that.
Of course he was.
He was one of Murrow's boys.
Yes, he was. And he taught them well. I remember Jackie Gleason telling me that story because I had met Edward R. Murrow just once. I was a young kid. I was working for Jackie, as you know, and it was the summertime. And Morrow visited the CBS studios over on the east side. We were doing the Honeymooners. He walked in. They were talking about news at the time. And he said it even then. He said, only they have to do, I don't know what context it was, but I remember him saying this in that deep, guttural voice of his, all they have to do is learn how to listen.
Well.
I never forgot that.
Yeah.
All they have to do is learn how to listen. And these young people today, even when they do their interviews, they don't know how to listen, to pick up the salient point of what that person across the desk
is trying
to say.
Well, that's one of my biggest pet peeves is an interviewer who will ask a subject a question and then interrupt that answer
yes.
before you even get a sense of the answer.
But the point is that they're smart. These are not stupid people. I shouldn't say that. I know I'm in a rant here and you got me going. These are smart young people. They're bright. They have all the capacity, but they don't have the will or I'm failing words here. The gumption to go out and learn something they don't know. Spend the time to learn your craft.
Through the years, Carl, I have spoken at a number of journalism schools where kids want to be what I was at the time,
yes.
which they wanted to be. Nobody ever wanted to be a reporter. They wanted to be an anchor person. Whether it was an anchor woman or an anchor
man. Why not?
Man.
Let's go to the president. Let's go to the top.
Well, and the first question and I would open it up for questions after my lecture, was always, well, how much do you make? And then the next one, the follow-up would be, well, don't anchors make more money than reporters? I don't want to have to go out in the rain. You know, truly, I would get questions like that. And, of course, I never went back to those particular journalism schools at the time. But
I laugh with a sense of great sorrow because you've hit on an extraordinary point. And they're not looking at this as you and I did. This is our profession. This is both a vocation and an avocation. This is what we are. And we've honed our life around this business. They're just doing it because it's a job, and they can be on television or on radio. They can be stars, if you will. I find that to be both. I find it to be ignored, and I'm sad about the future of our business when a selfie becomes more important than the news story itself.
Well, I think so too. I mean, but you have to couple in with all of this these so-called citizen journalists of today who are not trained to be responsible tellers of a story. You know. A journalistic ethic is to be learned and cultured over time, and it's seasoned with hard work and fair reporting. And when you do that, you know what it's called? Trust.
Ah, the trust word again. Our young people today don't have much of it because they want everything for them has always been so immediate.
You know, well, we can't lump everybody into...
No, and I'm being unfair about it, and I know
yeah,
I am.
You are. So let's say some people...
Shall we balance that?
Yes. Let's say that some of the young today who want to choose reporting and journalism as a craft to practice, some of them are brilliant and wonderful
yes.
and do a good job and want to learn.
Yes.
But there are some others who are only in it for the money.
Well, I'm just wondering how, in the long run, who wins out. I'm wondering how our craft will be affected by that. And if we have an opportunity to affect our craft up to this point in time, this is what we do. And I will stand on a podium. find me a milk box to stand on, Roland. I will.
Because, a soapbox is more better. Is better for you.
I like milk, but because they have to be stronger. But It is something that I've been so terribly, terribly concerned about. And I don't have the answer, unfortunately. I continue to do it.
Yeah.
You and I are doing it now. We're doing it now. And we will continue to do it here on Smith Sabatino as we roll on into our... and there's some water coming in for Roland. Good heaven. I think
he needs it. Thank you very much.
Catch up on that, Roland. We need that water. Thank you so much.
See, it's amazing when you when it looked like you're choking, and
I'm wondering what people are running in front of me here. It's a wonderful cavalcade of bodies. But this is Carl Sabatino and Roland Smith, and this is Smith Sabatino as we move on into our time together with you on America Weekend.
And you know what? Next section.
Yes,
I'm going to do a poem.
A poem coming up from Roland Smith, America Weekend, Envision Radio Network. Stay with us.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff, here is your child a little hypochondriac. Do they worry about every scrape and boo-boo? Are they concerned with every bump and bruise? Well, check with the kid's pediatrician, of course, but you may not need to worry. Here's the developmental science of it. Around about age 10, kids have a heightened awareness about their bodies, so it makes sense to start explaining how the body works before the child misinterprets every strange sensation. You can explain how blood works so they can cope with a bleeding cut. You may want to get a book about bones and muscles. That way you can explain more physical stuff. So what's the cheap psych trick? The best teacher here is knowledge. Bumps and bruises aren't as scary when the child knows what's going on. The more the child can learn about his body, you know what? The healthier they will grow. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This six-time All-Star was known as the Penguin for his stocky build and the waddle in his walk. He smacked more than 300 career homers and was one of three Dodgers who shared the 81 World Series MVP.
This three-run home run by Ron Say makes it 3-0.
So, where is Ron Say now? After two decades in the majors, Ron spent 8 years as a Mr. Mom. He then worked for a time in the Dodgers' marketing and community affairs department. Ron was also part of the ill-fated venture Call of Fame, a service that lets fans talk to their sports heroes for $5 a minute. And then there's Ron's country song, Playing the Third Base Bag.
I'm playing the third base. I'm playing the third base bag.
I think it's safe to say, no more hit singles for Ron Say. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV.